KFSR presents Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, featuring stories of people of the valley, produced by media communications and journalism students at Fresno State, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning, I'm Talia Redondo.
And I'm Judith Saldivar. We're glad you joined us this morning for Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, stories about people of the Central Valley. Today we're going to hear from a therapist who's learned firsthand what it's like to survive family struggles. We'll also talk with a young man who's transitioning from one identity to another.
We'll pick things up with a local musician who's making a name for himself as a hip-hop artist, and we'll talk with Fresno State's new wrestling coach.
We begin today with a young woman who has two kids, but she's not a parent. The story of a therapist in training who is learning empathy through her own experiences. Erica Jackson is a recent grad from the Marriage Family Therapy Master's Program at Fresno State. She has spent her whole life preparing for a career helping patients because of her own family's experiences.
Ready? Go.
Jackson has always been a parental figure in the lives of her younger sisters and brother. Jasmine's 25, Brandon is 16, and Jordan is 12.
Yes, it does. You wouldn't want to get 0 likes on your post.
Why don't you guys get dressed, because we're going to leave in a couple minutes.
Okay.
I'm already dressed.
Go to auntie's house like this, like we could just chill there.
Their mother has been absent for the past 10 years of their life.
She is actually homeless, and she is addicted to drugs, and she's just not in her right state of mind to take care of the kids.
Erica's mother abused drugs during her pregnancy with Jordan and while all of the children were growing up. Erica was 14 when her mother had Brandon.
I just, even that young, I knew, like, oh, I'm going to be taking care of Brandon. And then when she told us that she was pregnant with Jordan, I was so angry, and I was just thinking, like, here's another child that I'm going to have to take care of. And I knew that way before, like, I knew that at a young age that my mom is just not the type to be that responsible parent, you know? So I just, even when they were first brought into the world, I knew they would be my responsibility because that's how it's always been, even with Jasmine, Brandon, and now Jordan.
Erica's mother's addiction to drugs caused the family to lose their home. The children and their father were forced to move in a small 3-bedroom apartment in a low-income area in Tulare.
So things were starting to look better. We hadn't heard from my mom in a while, so usually that's a good thing when we don't hear from her. When she's around or pops in every now and again, it creates a lot of chaos for us, just because she's not in her right frame of mind.
Erica says that life at home wasn't that bad. Her dad, Harlan Lee, suffered from arthritis in his back, so he was unemployed. But Lee played the role of a stay-at-home mom, and Erica was a working parent.
Dad would cook us meals every night. He would make sure that we had food in the house. He would, you know, do a lot of the cleaning. He would do the best he can to take care of us. That's all he wanted to do was to take care of his kids, and we were just really making it together.
With Erica's recent graduation and new job as a therapist, things were starting to look good for her family. They were even getting ready to buy a new home because of her new income. And then suddenly, everything changed on July 24th, 2016.
It was a pretty normal Sunday. He was here at home playing Madden football with my sister's boyfriend and with his two cousins. And my cousins kept telling me that my dad kept standing up and sitting down and kind of complaining that he couldn't talk. And he started to have trouble breathing, and my dad kept saying, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. And then it started to get worse.
Erica was showering during this time and didn't see what was happening.
So we come out and he's on the couch and he's just really panting, like he cannot breathe. And my dad starts telling us, I'm gonna die, I'm gonna die. I love you kids, I love you Brandon, I love you Erica. And he starts naming us.
Erica's sister Jasmine called 911 and an ambulance rushed Lee to the hospital. Erica was right there by his side.
I was in a nightmare, really. And I just kept yelling
through the curtain. I'm like, hey, Dad, I'm right here. Don't worry. I'm not going to leave. And he kept telling me, okay, okay. And he kept responding. I'm like, I'm right here, Dad. Don't worry. And he's like, okay. And then finally there was a moment where he wouldn't respond. He wouldn't say, okay. And I just knew my dad's body was not that strong to come back from what was going on, like all the chest compressions they were doing. It was like in my heart, I knew he wasn't going to come back.
At the age of 47, Lee was suffering from pneumonia but never showed any symptoms, so nobody knew he was ill.
The fluid was constricting his breathing, and it happened so fast that, you know, we just had no idea. And when the doctor was telling us that they couldn't get a heartbeat from him, I just couldn't believe what he was saying to me. I couldn't understand the words that he was saying. Nothing was processing in my brain. I felt like my body went into shock because I didn't want anybody to touch me or anything, and I was pretty hysterical, and I was telling the doctor, like, you're lying to me. I was in disbelief, total disbelief.
And Erica knew her life would never be the same. At the age of 30, she was a single parent to her 16-year-old brother and 12-year-old sister.
I became a single parent overnight, and I wasn't ready for it.
Now Erica is the one who cooks dinner, goes to parent conferences, and takes care of Jordan's type 1 diabetes. She has to give her younger sister insulin injections every day.
So it's been a lot of responsibility on my shoulders right now.
Erica and her 25-year-old sister Jasmine are filing for joint custody of Brandon and Jordan. Their mother has all parental rights, and Erica is afraid her mom might show up one day and take the kids. But there are plenty of positives. Erica's difficult family life helps her empathize with her patients. She was just awarded an $18,000 scholarship as a marriage and family therapist, and she made good on a promise that she made to her dad as he lay dying. Some of her last words to her dad was that she would still buy him a new home. With money from the scholarship and her job, less than 2 months later, she did. Now she's able to move her family to a neighborhood where they can all feel safe. Erica says she's ready to start over in her new place to create positive memories.
Stress doesn't just affect adults. Changes in a child's behavior could be a sign that they're feeling pressured too. Stress can affect anyone feeling overwhelmed, including kids. Here are a few signs for parents or relatives to look out for. For younger kids, withdraw from their favorite activities, becoming clingy to a parent, or even a sudden change in their appetite are all red flags. Becoming hostile toward family and abandoning friendships are more common signs among teens. How your child interacts with others outside of the home can indicate if stress is a factor. Experts say a good way for parents to tap into their child's behaviors is communicating with each other, teachers, and coaches. Kids may often express how overwhelmed they are with words like angry or annoyed, or speak negatively about themselves. Parents should keep an ear out for keywords or phrases that may indicate a source of stress. You should know that tackling the stress in your child's life is not something you have to do alone. Licensed therapists can provide the support and guidance their child needs.
And as we mentioned on last week's show, the Student Health and Counseling Center at Fresno State offers several different services to help people who are struggling with anxiety or depression. If you need to talk to someone, this is the place to go. They have individual counseling, groups, and classes, and even anonymous drop-in sessions. Meantime, a new study out suggests that some high blood pressure medications could cause depression. The research found that people taking beta blockers or similar drugs doubled their risk of being hospitalized for depression or other mood disorders. By comparison, those taking ACE inhibitors had a low risk of developing such disorders. Researchers warn that study has many caveats, but they also say it builds a case of linking mental health to treating heart patients and others with blood pressure issues. The study was published in the journal Hypertension. The World Health Organization says high blood pressure causes an estimated 7.5 million deaths worldwide per year.
Transgenderism is a confusing concept for those who don't understand it, and there are many different interpretations and sides. This morning, Courtney Rogers explores the path one person is taking at a new school with a new identity.
Transitioning into a new school or a new job can be stressful and honestly scary for some people. Now imagine transitioning into a new body and a new state of mind. For graphic designer and bartender Alex Jimenez, this is his reality. transgenderism is a real topic that fits into the silver lining that society doesn't talk about much. He's here today to expand on why it's important for the world to understand and accept the transgender community. Thanks for stopping by and chatting with us.
Hey.
So first, tell us why the name changed to Alex. Is this a name you just love, or is there a meaning behind it?
Honestly, it's a name that I've just really liked since I was little. My first cat was Alex. I played The Sims a lot. My character, which was always a man, his name was Alex, and I'm keeping part of my name, and I like how it sounds in Spanish altogether. So.
And what's the full name?
It's Alejandro Guadalupe Jimenez.
So when did you know you were different? Was it something you felt automatically or something you felt after being exposed to the gender differences between girls and boys?
I guess I felt different ever since I was little. I always associated more with the boys, not because I liked them, but because I wanted to be like them. Having a little brother, I always felt like his older brother. I tried to be my mother's daughter, you know, tried the whole fitting into dresses and had the boyfriend and everything, but it was just not natural. I think society tries to fit us all into categories, you know, this is what boys do, this is what girls do, and they try to put me in the girls' one, and I just didn't fit in.
And at what moment did you say, this is who I want to be, I want to be Alex?
The first time it ever crossed my mind, I can't remember if I was like 10 or younger, but maybe I didn't call myself Alex then. I just knew that I didn't want to be female no more. I remember crying myself to sleep and wishing really hard to wake up a little boy and my life would be easy, you know, but obviously it didn't happen.
With that being said, who was the first person you told and when did you tell them?
The first person I told was another transgender friend. She is a male to female. I met her at my old job. And people always said like, oh, is she a man? Is she a, you know, to me, she was always a woman. That's what she introduced herself as. And, just being exposed to her, it kind of gave me courage. And I was able to talk about it. So this was maybe like 3 years ago, and she led me to my first step was talking to a psychologist after that.
So with that first step with the psychologist, that was clearly steps you've been taking. So tell us about the journey you've taken thus far and the continual steps you'll be taking into the next few years to get where you want to be. I already see some facial hair and some defined muscles.
Yes, the first thing I had to do was the psychological part of it. Which at first, that was hard for me. But after a year of that, I was able to, you know, have my letter of release into where I get an MD and they start prescribing testosterone, which is what I'm taking. And I have to work out a lot in order for it not to make me fat, especially with the graphic design profession, which I sit a lot. But I think in a few months, I'll be starting to talk to surgeons and see where I go from there.
I think it's so important to talk about what we can do to help support the LGBTQ community. What are some tips you'd recommend for those who want to help uplift friends going through this same experience?
Well, I think it's important to communicate. I think it's important to ask questions. I think I shouldn't be treated differently. I shouldn't be special. I shouldn't be praised or anything. I'm a normal person. For me, I just have to take this extra step because I wasn't born in the body that I wanted or that I think that I was meant to be, you know. So I think it's just important to ask questions. Don't be afraid.
Well, this has been an absolutely extraordinary interview with respected graphic designer and bartender Alex Jimenez. We've been talking about the trials and life lessons he's faced while on this life journey. Some call it transgenderism, but we call it liberation. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you.
That interview was conducted by Courtney Rogers for her broadcast news writing class at Fresno State. The top cause of homelessness is a lack of affordable housing. That's according to the most recent survey by the U.S. Conference of Mayors. After housing comes unemployment, poverty, mental illness, and substance abuse, and the lack of needed services. For women, domestic violence is the leading cause of homelessness. As many as 1 out of 3 are on the streets because of abuse. I talked with one woman who has been without a home for more than 7 years. This is her story. At the age of 30, Maria Daniels got married and migrated from Sonora, Mexico, leaving everything behind to Fireball, California. Daniels got caught up in temptation, where she developed her alcohol addiction, then shortly separated from her husband. She then moved to Mendota, California.
I got separated, and there I was, homeless.
Daniels lost track of her legal documents, which is why she wasn't able to work. Instead, she worked through her own ways.
But I would work, making yard sales, picking up cans.
Daniels would make an average of $40 every 2 days, hoping that was enough for her next meal.
I was living in a really old cantina for 7 years, and then they tore it down. Then I lived in a dry canal that had the houses where we lived in, but they ordered to take them down.
Fresno sheriff deputies cleared the encampment that contained about 20 shacks for over 55 homeless people last November 20th, after a court order by Westlands Water District, who owned the property, leaving them, once again, with nowhere to go.
Pavarello went to rescue us, but I was the only one who came here with my puppy.
The Pavarello House is a faith-based organization who helps people in need. They are able to provide 1,500 meals a day and a number of different programs. Daniels arrived to Pavarello House with her blind puppy Chula in January and has been here for 9 months. During these 9 months, she feels like her life has changed around in many different ways.
I would pray to the Almighty and I would say, Lord, help me get rid of this.
Through Pavarello and the Holy Cross Center for Women and Children, Daniels is now sober. Pavarello has provided medicine, food stamps, clothes, glasses, and Medi-Cal for Daniels.
Life goes on, and it's very beautiful. There's an opportunity that we have to change our lives around for free that I didn't even know I had.
Pavarello provides computer access, and through Facebook, Daniels was able to find her 2 sons she left back in Mexico. Her goal is to one day be able to reunite with them. She says then her heart will be at peace. For now, Daniels is being patient. She is currently working on getting her legal documents to then after start working. Her focus right now is to be an example to the other members of the Pavarello House.
I see them and I want to be an example for them.
Just as Daniel says, we are all architects of our own destiny, and every decision we make has an effect on our future.
You never know what curveball life is going to throw at you. Alexis Gouveia tells us a story of a young man who dreamed of being a basketball player until poetry changed his life.
With hard work, patience, and consistency, one local artist is determined to be successful. Some may know him by Zoe Lee, while others recognize him by his stage name, Z Will. Z is short for Zoe. Will is short for willpower, like mental fortitude. Not many people know that music wasn't in his plans.
You know, in high school, my biggest dream, I guess, during that time was playing hoop, you know, playing sports. I didn't really have any aspirations for, like, music during the time. It was more of, like, I was just a big fan of it, you know. I would write poetry here and there, but it was mainly, like, my life was kissing. More of, like, ball, playing basketball.
Then Z Will got injured, discouraging his dreams to play basketball.
It just led to me moving back to my hometown, Fresno, and then meeting up with my brother and his friend, and they actually kind of, like, sparked everything for me to start making music and pursuing that.
It wasn't until 4 years ago that Z Will decided to pursue a career in music.
Since then, he has put in countless hours writing his own music and dedicating his time in the studio. How we can achieve what we do, the things we believe. I remember I was having one of those nights. Nothing was going right in my life. Would you opposite a bright side track? Got a text from this chick. Paragraph messages talking. Where would you say you find your inspiration now?
Life. You know, I mainly write about experiences rather than past, present, or things I would want for my future. So I feel like my main inspiration, if you listen to any of my music in my catalog, would be that, like, you know, OZ talks about a lot about a life, about his life, and, you know, how he perceives things. So, and of course, I have fun and I'll talk about other things, but, like, I feel like that's the core content of my music. Success, you know, being successful in what I do. I would say, yeah, success and how I see life and, like, how I feel like, I don't know, just stating, making a lot of statements about just where I feel like I should be in life based off of my work ethic and things like that. Women in my life, you know, family. So if I get, like, a cool beat, like, the smooth, you know, I feel like that kind of, like, just brings out a different, it brings out a certain topic.
Z Will has spent a lot of money on his craft.
In two mixtapes, I'm putting, like, $3,000 each. At the end of it, you know what I mean, when everything's recorded and mixed, you know, it's coming out to $3,000. That's something I'm putting out for free. Like, you know, that's in the beginning stages of things.
Chalice Recording Studios in the capital of entertainment, Hollywood, California. One of many places where Z Will dedicates his time making music.
You know, no one knows of me, so, like, oh, yeah, you got to cop this, you got to buy this. So I feel like, you know, yeah, maybe I should just give it to people, see, you know, see what they think of it. Maybe, hopefully, it'll become a core following.
Crash, a longtime friend, says Z Will is one of the hardest workers he knows, a trait that makes him stand out. Crash also says if he had to describe Z Will's work ethic in one word, it would be amazing.
Z Will is a studio rat. Like, he's just nonstop working and trying to create something great, and sometimes forgets to have fun for himself sometimes because he's so focused on just trying to provide for his family and team through this music thing, so.
Cam Cooks, Z Will's brother, says Zoe has come a long way and his message is to further and better the world.
Goofy, hungry. I mean, this guy is just an all-around player, man. He's just he's an awesome person, just humble, always eager to learn, just all around just a team player, man. It's just awesome to see a person like that just excel and just be not only a partner, but a brother.
D Will says he and his music are constantly evolving, and Juke, his producer, challenges that growth.
As far as work, sleepless nights, you know, fine-tuning details.
One of the latest projects Z Will has been working on is a collaborative EP titled Il Mantra, which is set to be released on October 25th. A listening session is also underway.
So what is your ultimate goal?
Ultimate goal is to continue doing music, which I love to do, and but also keep my integrity and remain myself in it, because I feel like a lot of people can get lost in it. But also be at a point where I'm financially stable to where I can continue to do it, but also help out myself and others.
For Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, I'm Alexis Govea.
The Fresno State's men's tennis team is headed to the ITA Regionals tomorrow for the third competition of the fall. Alex White takes us to the courts to find out more about their senior leadership and goals for the season.
Filling the shoes of the Bulldogs before him has been the main goal for senior captain Ewan McIntosh after transferring to Fresno State his sophomore year. Named to the All-Mountain West Conference team last year, McIntosh has set the bar even higher for himself and his teammates as he looks to get Fresno State men's tennis back on the map.
They've been very big. They've been top four in the country, so I've got big footsteps to follow in. We're really looking forward to the challenge and see if we can replicate some of the accomplishments from past teams.
With four all-conference accolades, a strong work ethic, and a knack for motivating his teammates, McIntosh is back healthy this season and looking to have his best one yet.
That's too good, man.
Even when he struggled through an injury last year, McIntosh was still able to improve elements of his game. Co-captain Youssef Hassan says that McIntosh has never let an injury stop him from helping his team get the win.
Yeah, he was fighting through injury, wasn't able to serve properly, wasn't able to play to the level he wanted to play at, and he still managed to make the all doubles team and singles team.
And while his collegiate career will come to an end this season, McIntosh's coach says this won't be the last time we'll see him compete.
I think his ultimate goal is to make it to Wimbledon someday, and he can. He has the game, he has the strength to do that, and so I want to set him up well for the future.
But for now, McIntosh is focused on the present, leading his team to a conference championship. Alex White, Fresno State Focus.
One, two, three, dogs!
From tennis to something we haven't seen in Fresno State for 10 years.
wrestling. It's been a long time coming, but wrestling is back and promises to be better than ever. Liz Juarez met with head coach Troy Steiner and the new wrestling team to see how they are preparing for the upcoming season.
Back on the mats and working hard to be back on the map to be a top-rated wrestling program, Coach Troy Steiner is getting Fresno State's new wrestling team pumped up for its first match.
For me, I think it's a good thing just to reunite the wrestling community, the Fresno, the Bulldog wrestling community, because that when the sport was dropped here, a lot of people were very upset, and rightfully so. They were upset, and they maybe pulled away even from the university. And so I want to re-engage these people and then reunite them.
After a successful wrestling career of his own at Iowa State, Steiner went on to help Oregon State win 7 Pac-12 championships. He hopes to reunite the Fresno wrestling community. Assistant coach Jason Chamberlain wrestled at Boise State before moving down to help Coach Steiner jumpstart the program.
So I spent a lot of years wrestling against Coach Steiner's team and his athletes, and I was very impressed with the guys he coached, and they were a tough team.
Fresno State's wrestling program abruptly ended 10 years ago. The Dogs are working hard and losing no time preparing for next season. The team is already gaining much support from the Fresno community as hundreds showed up to celebrate the resurgence of wrestling back in the Valley last week by hosting Faithful Family Night. Assistant head coach Silva wrestled under Coach Steiner at Oregon State.
No, he believes in you, and he's going to tell you day to day what you need to do to accomplish your goals, but you might have some times where you're failing or and things aren't going your way. He's always there to kind of pick you up and tell you to keep moving forward.
Fresno State Wrestling gets underway in spring 2017. Pumpkins are starting to show up on porches and yards, but not like the ones for the world champion way off. Farmers are in Half Moon Bay, just south of San Francisco, to show off some absolutely huge pumpkins. The winner gets $6,000 a pound, which can be around $12,000 for a 2,000-pound pumpkin. The winner this year was Cindy Tobik. Her pumpkin weighed just over 1,900 pounds. Organizers were hoping to see a record-breaking pumpkin. The world record has been 2,200 pounds, but now a pumpkin weighing 2,600 pounds has been grown in Belgium. If you're heading up to the Bay Area this weekend, you can still see the top 4 finishers at the Half Moon Bay Pumpkin Festival.
An important reminder that 90.7 KFSR Radio is holding its biannual pledge drive this week. KFSR is a listener-supported, non-commercial public radio station licensed to and operated by Fresno State. All donations are tax deductible and are used to pay operational expenses. The Fall Pledge Drive runs through Sunday, October 16th. To make a donation, call 559-278-9070.
Next week on Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, Ed Morachila looks at food insecurity and the ways families are overcoming it in one valley town.
And I'll be taking a look at some of the things students can do to cope with homesickness. It's a real problem, especially for freshmen. We'll also hear the story of Lithuanian swimmer Ugna Maišytaitė, who's making an international name for herself at Fresno State.
Fresno State Focus Radio Edition is produced by Professor Faith Sidlow. Our stories and interviews are produced and edited by Brittany Sosa, Edmore Archila, David Chavez, Tristan Lewis, Tyler Bartlam, and Alexis Govea. Natalie Nigg is our associate producer. Students Alex White, Liz Juarez, and Courtney Roberts also contributed to today's broadcast.
This program is produced in collaboration with KFSR 90.7 FM. For Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, I'm Talia Redondo.
And I'm Judith Saldivar. Have a great morning.
KFSR presents Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, Saturday mornings at 5. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.